Verse 8, if you will, please.
Acts chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. This same Jesus will return. Many things we cannot understand, and much we will never know. But one thing is certain, Jesus is coming again. Jesus will return. According to our text and many other verses of Scripture, and I want to look at some classic passages regarding the coming of the Lord. They may not be new, but they're significant. In Daniel chapter 12, world conditions make us believe that the coming of the Lord is near. Now, skeptics say, well, you Christians have been saying that for centuries. Yes, we have. We believe in what is known as the imminent return of Christ. That is, he could come back at any time, but he will only come at the time that's been appointed by the Father. And so in Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, we read, But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. One of the conditions of the world that lets us know the coming of the Lord is soon. Okay, and I can tell you this, we're one day closer. Okay, and so the skeptic would have said last week, well, you keep saying that, yeah, but now we're one day closer. And here it says about knowledge shall be increased. We are living in that very time. So much, I remember sitting in the living room of my parents as a child, and my grandfather sitting there as we were watching that old black and white television. I'm almost sure it was a black and white. And it was the rocket sending to the moon. And it wasn't black and white then. My wife's smiling, and so. My dad wasn't alive when that happened. Well, how do you get there? Okay, my dad wasn't alive. You know about my memory. Anyway, I do remember this. We're sitting in the living room. My grandfather's sitting there. Obviously, not everybody was there that I thought was there. But, pardon? You want to tell this story? We were in Harrisburg. Was he sitting in our living room? Listen, I was sitting in a living room with my grandfather, watching a TV. It doesn't matter where it was. I don't care what she remembers. I know I was there, and my grandfather was there, because this is what he said. He said, I can't believe it, in my lifetime, that I'm seeing a man land on the moon. You see, he started his door-to-door selling of religious novelties and Bibles with horse and buggy. And now he was driving a car that he could do in 2 days what took him 2 weeks. And he said, now I get to see a man land on the moon. We are living in a time of knowledge. And of course, some, like my wife, have more knowledge of things than others. But, you know, cell phones. It's unbelievable what, you know, what you can do with a cell phone. And the, you know, you don't even need, well, depending on what you want to do, you don't even need a computer anymore. If you have a good cell phone, you're holding a computer in your hand. And hey, that's a helpful thing. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right. Oh.
Improve your memory.
Yeah. Improve my memory. Get me another one of these things. They advertise things on TV for, you know, hey, come out of jellyfish. Prevagen. Virginally found in jellyfish. And it helps your memory. And I thought about getting it. You know, one thing I do remember is I've been a sucker before. All right, knowledge will increase. We're living in that day of increased and yet increasing knowledge. And then in Matthew chapter 24, I can see I've got two messages here. Matthew chapter 24. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. That's why I said Jesus is coming when the Father tells him to. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The conditions like in Noah's day, we're living with in our day. They're not new to our day. They've been around for centuries, but they are increasing in our day. We are indeed living in a post-Christian America. We are the exception. And it used to be that if you talk to a young adult, you could count on the fact that he had gone to Sunday school. And that he had learned at least John 3:16. Now today, young adults not only haven't gone, neither have their parents.
That's exactly right.
We're living in the days of Noah. But then look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. In Luke 21, I'm going to begin reading at verse 25. Luke 21, 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, back in verse 25, distress of nations with perplexity. We're living in that time. I've heard it preached already that the conditions, as they get worse and worse, if anything, it's setting the stage for the Antichrist. The world is ripe for the right person to come along that seems to have the answer for all of the distress of the nations and the perplexity. Men don't know what to do. They are perplexed. I'd say they're besides themselves in understanding. And so there's another condition that makes us believe that the coming of the Lord is near. Now, I want to make a statement, but then I must clarify it. I don't believe in global warming. Of course, the global warming crowd got so much flack over that, they changed it to climate change. Okay, have you noticed that? They don't call it global warming so much as climate change. Now, I don't buy into that whole thing, but listen, could it be that some of the things in the earth are going to be changing that will set up conditions such as the world would be extra quick to accept the Antichrist who has the solutions? I don't know. But you see what we read there. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars. Now, I'm not into reading signs like that. I don't buy into the astrology charts and so on. You say, well, aren't you curious? Yeah, but I don't allow myself to go there because I don't want to get suckered into something that's not right. But here it is. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Here, listen, this is one. The sea and the waves roaring. The sea and the waves roaring. There's always been tsunamis. Now, it's either because we have the kind of communication that we have that we hear of more of them, or there are more of them. And it'll take somebody smarter than me to know whether we're just hearing because of our communication about more of them, or if there are more. All I know is that's what I thought of with the sea and the waves roaring. Yeah. The conditions make us believe that it's near. And there he says, and when these things begin to come to pass. You see, he didn't say when these things have come to pass. You can look back on it. Hindsight's 100%. He says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now, in some coming messages here on the second coming, one of the things that I'm going to point out is that there is something that should be happening in our lives because Jesus is coming again. The coming again of Jesus Christ is not just for fascination. And boy, I'll tell you, you get a good prophecy teacher, a knowledgeable, knowing the Bible prophecy teacher, and it's fascinating. I know I heard one fellow one time, we had him for a week of meetings. I'm telling you, he preached an hour and a half. Now, that's nothing for you folks, but you come to Youth Weekend. But I'm serious. He preached an hour and a half. And we looked at our watches. We couldn't believe it was over. And then we looked at our watches and my land. He preached so long. But he just held your attention. Now, he was capable. That was a big part of it. But the other part is the fact that we have an interest in it. However, needs to be more than just fascination with. It needs to be more than just something that tantalizes our Christian mind. And that's one of the things that I'll get at, what it should do in our lives. But this same Jesus will return. World conditions that have been predicted in the Bible that we see coming to pass. Are the things that I've spoken of, are they the fulfillments of these verses? Not necessarily. I can't say that. I'm just saying the Bible talks about such things. here's our conditions today. And so, just as it said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, and they've been happening for quite a while. I have my grandfather's Bible, the one that sat in our living room and watched the man land on the moon, okay? I have that grandfather's Bible. He was a godly man. And he had these verses underlined and highlighted. And some of them he had little notes in the column for them. And he's been dead and in heaven for a long while. How long's he gone now? At least 2 years, huh?
I think he died in
73. Died in 73 or thereabouts, okay? And so, he was in his 80s, mid-80s when he died. He retired when he was 65 and got tired of that. And after about 5 years, went back to work. And so, all right, we're going to go to prayer groups. Okay, now you learned some Bible and you learned a whole lot of other stuff, didn't you?
Let's do a prayer group.